It's here and now. And a quick correction now to a story we aired yesterday about batteries. It turns out it is nickel cadmium batteries, not nickel metal hydrides, that have had memory performance issues. That means they had trouble maintaining full charges if they weren't fully discharged after each use. Improvements in technology have made memory effect less of a problem. And as mentioned in our interview, cadmium is toxic to the environment. And while the U.S. does not ban nickel cadmium batteries, there is a national program to collect and recycle them. Well, it has been a big couple weeks for advocates of gay marriage.
Federal judge declares that Ohio's ban on gay marriage is unconstitutional, but his ruling applies only to death certificates.
That sound from WKRC in Cincinnati. And that ruling is expected to lead to more lawsuits challenging Ohio's ban on gay marriage. Meanwhile, in Utah last week, a federal judge ruled that Utah's amendment banning same-sex marriage violated the Constitution, and that state is now issuing marriage licenses. But some people in Utah do not support that decision.
I've been taught many years now that the biblical version of marriage is preferred by me, a man and a woman.
That sound from KSTU in Salt Lake City. And remember, it was this month that a judge ordered gay marriage legalized in New Mexico. And it was just a couple months ago that a court in New Jersey legalized same-sex marriage there, making it one of the last states in the Northeast to do so. We spoke then with Martha Shapiro, who married her longtime partner at 12:01 a.m. on October 21st.
Oh, my God, we are absolutely elated. It's finally over. New Jersey has marriage equality forever.
So New Jersey, New Mexico, Ohio, and Utah, and all of this seemed unthinkable just 10 years ago when this show debuted on Bravo. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy featured the Fab Five, five gay men who were called in to make over some hapless person, usually a straight man. Each of the five had their own area of expertise. Carson Kressley focused on fashion. Ted Allen was the food and wine guy. And at the beginning of each show, the guys got the scoop on their next target.
All right, guys, we got Jeff Luby, 33-year-old bartender from Nebraska. He sounds
corn-fed and delicious.
So he's really in love with a girl named Faith.
And now he says that Faith is the love of his life.
Well, earlier this year, I spoke to Ted Allen and Carson Kressley, and I started by asking Ted what impact he thought Queer Eye for the Straight Guy had on the national conversation about gay people.
We participated in a moment in time in American history when television was finally opening up to seeing gay and lesbian people on TV. I think we were the first show, we were probably the only show that ever had a completely out gay cast.
What about Gilligan's Island?
Oh, right.
Just kidding. I also think that, you know, for a lot of people, the power of being out and being visible is that somebody knows a gay person. And for a lot of people who maybe watched our show, it was innocuous, it was a makeover show, but TV is very intimate, and we may have been the first gay people that they felt like they knew. Mm-hmm. And we were doing some good things, and we were experts in our field, and we had a great time. We were funny, and we didn't take ourselves seriously, and we didn't have a political agenda. We were just being ourselves, and I think that's the power of being out and being who you are, is that it disarms prejudice because people actually get to know you.
Yeah, that's in that sense, Queer Eye did have a subversive kind of political meaning, but I hasten to say, not as Carson said, we weren't taking ourselves seriously or thinking of ourselves as activists, but we were there present at the same time as Ellen DeGeneres, who kind of blazed a trail for us, Will and Grace. This was long before Modern Family.
But if the gay bishop.
Oh, yeah, Gene Robinson.
It was the same time period.
And I have to say, I think now that it is very true that pop culture plays a huge impact in people's perceptions of us. And look at Modern Family. How can you not love Cameron and Mitchell and that obnoxious little daughter of theirs? And, you know, people are now talking about Cameron and Mitchell should get married. And what fortunately for them, they live in a state where that is now possible, as do Carson and I. And which is what brings me to a very special announcement that Carson and I need to make.
Ted, will you marry me?
Not a chance.
Here we go, right on here now. But, you know, Modern Family and Will and Grace and Ellen DeGeneres in her show, not Ellen, but the show that she had back then, these were fictional characters. So your show was very different. These were real people. You were real people. You were out there speaking to people in all around. So don't you think that made a difference?
I think that makes a little bit of a difference. And just you know, personally, when you're out in airports or malls and you meet people, people really do have a personal connection to you when you're on a reality show because they don't know you as your character. They do know you for who you are. So, yeah, I think it's maybe a little bit more direct and maybe a little more authentic in that way.
Now, you guys did swoop in with your help to make over a lot of people, but the show did get some criticism that it perpetrated stereotypes about gay men. Did you hear that criticism when it was happening, and what do you make of it? How do you respond to it?
We did hear that, and we, you know, Carson is an expert in fashion. Tom does interior design. There is, of course, a stereotype. I don't know why we didn't have a flight attendant.
Or a florist. What the hell?
Yeah, we really dropped the ball on that. But what Carson, I remember what you always used to say, Carson, is that you can call into question whether we're perpetuating the stereotype that those are, you know, stereotypically gay occupations or things that are amenable or hospitable or friendly to gay and lesbian people. But the fact is, we were being ourselves. That's who we were. And I think that's what that was partly what made the show a little provocative. We were playing with those stereotypes in an affectionate way. And the tension between your schlubby, your average, you know, obviously it's a stereotype that all gay men are stylish and that all straight men are schlubs. I know plenty. I have not, for example, showered in 3 days and I haven't shaved. And, you know,
he's a disaster.
I'm a mess. I'm wearing one of those Cosby sweaters. It's not pretty.
And I have my New York Rangers jersey on. That's actually a lie.
But we did hear that. And you know what? Actually, I heard that Barney Frank didn't like the show, which really kind of hurt my feelings because I've always admired him very much for what he did. But you know that, I mean, I will never forget the first time we were on the Today Show, watching Matt Lauer wrap his mouth around the word queer and saying that word. And I actually didn't used to like the title
that
of the show.
That was a really crazy metaphor you just used. Wrap his mouth around the word queer.
You could see me backpedaling before I even said it because I knew
like,
you were
going
to. No! I remember some other things that were said on that broadcast of the Today Show that you won't repeat.
I won't. But yeah, you know, we were very much ourselves. I was very like out and loud and proud and bawdy and sassy. But I think, you know, there's some homophobia, too, within our own community that you can't be, you know, flamboyant. And we've been told by society, you know, you need to be a little bit more mainstream and more normal. And there was something very liberating about being on the show and being exactly who you were.
I found you very offensive myself.
Right. I found you so boring. but we were being ourselves.
We're talking with Carson Kressley and Ted Allen about their show Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
It's Here and Now, and we're back with more of our conversation from July with Ted Allen and Carson Kressley, two of the Fab Five in the Bravo makeover show Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. The show debuted in 2003, and only a year later, it had really reached the top of the national conversation. Then President George W. Bush joked about it at the 2004 Radio and TV Correspondents' Dinner. He was making digs at both Attorney General John Ashcroft and Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. Let's listen.
Do you know what Rummy's favorite TV show is? Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. My cabinet could take some pointers from watching that show. In fact, I'm going to have the Fab Five do a makeover on Ashcroft.
So what was that like, guys, having the President of the United States reference your show?
Well, it was the one time I liked him, I think.
Right. He had a moment of clarity. That gave me a little bit of a goosebump moment right now because it's the President of the United States. No matter what you think about his policies or his politics, that's pretty awesome just pop culture recognition, I guess.
We had New Yorker cartoons. We were on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. We had a kind of a meteoric a meteoric rise and then kind of a fizzle. This is what happens when, you know, at the time, Bravo was really not a well-known network. They had nothing but Inside the Actor's Studio.
Right. I thought they were a nonstick cooking spray for years.
And because of that, and remember, Carson, how the major advertiser, initially, the one big national advertiser that we had was Amaretto DiSerrano.
And we love love you, amaretto. We're drinking it right now,
totally.
Still.
It's all I drink.
On the rocks.
I drink it while I drive my Yukon Denali from GMC. And Bravo was so successful with us. And, you know, by the way, we got to give our tip of the hat, both to Bravo and to NBC Universal at the time, for taking a chance like that on
right.
a show like ours. That was gutsy.
The producers of the show from Scout Productions in Boston, I think, had shopped the show around to many different networks, and there was a lot of, no, we don't think so. And, you know, Bravo did really stick its neck out and, you know, embrace the name of the show. That was a big controversy when we were in our initial stages of production. Were we going to keep the name? And those were all really important things to, you know, there's nothing wrong with being, you know, queer.
But, you know, the interesting thing here is that the president is out there saying that in a lighthearted way at the same time, just around the same time, that he comes out and says he's in favor of a constitutional amendment making marriage between a man and a woman. And I wonder what you make of that disparity.
Well, and remember also at the time, Ken Mellman was a closeted gay man engineering Bush's second campaign, which contained a lot of that kind of anti-gay rhetoric. I guess, of course, it made us, we weren't happy about that at all. It just shows how incredibly far we've come so
right.
quickly.
And, you know, maybe, you know, without shows like ours or Eleanor, they wouldn't become part of the pop culture discussion, and at least talking about it and having him... He said the word queer. I mean, how many presidents have actually uttered those words before? At least it's something positive.
Yeah, I think a lot of presidents have uttered that word.
Just not in a good way.
Yeah, Nixon, I think, used it all the time, but it wasn't so affectionate.
Well,
I mean, and it also shows a generational shift. George Bush is a part of a generation and a demographic that was not comfortable with us, and you look at the youth vote now, and this is why you're seeing American approval of gay marriage is now past 50%, and I think the battle is getting close to being won. It's not won yet, but we've made some huge strides.
Well, lest we get too serious, I just want to play a clip of the show to show that a lot of it was about humor. Here's Carson giving a tip about moving.
For a move, consider downsizing your wardrobe. Give unwanted clothes to charity and send others to a consignment store. When they sell your clothes, they'll send you a check. It's like pennies from heaven. I said pennies, not penne.
So what was it like making that show? How did you come up with that right on the spot?
We came up with a lot of it on the spot. You know, it was we had just a great chemistry, I think, between the five of us. And we had so much more fun and more funny times with each other than probably even was ever captured on the show, because we had a great time making the show. It was an exciting time in our lives. And we just really enjoyed each other's company. And we enjoyed the guys that we were helping make over. And it was just a lot of fun.
Let me tell you a moment that nobody knows about. So when Carson and I, it turned out, we later found out Carson and I were the first two people that they chose for the show. I think perhaps because we sort of bookended one another in some
right.
certain ways. I was from the Midwest. I've got this incredibly masculine quality.
Right. And I have those rich Latin undertones to my voice.
And yet perfectly blonde hair. Yeah,
Exactly. So the day Carson and I arrived to audition for the show, the very first day, a steamy hot day in New York City, across the street from Madison Square Garden, where Bravo's headquarters used to be, Carson walks in wearing Gucci slides. He's wearing these Ralph Lauren blousy pants with big hibiscus pattern on them. He's wearing like a pirate shirt. Remember the Jerry Seinfeld pirate shirt that caused
actually, it was a Ralph Lauren Purple Label linen crisscross wrap shirt.
I didn't say it was cheap, Carson. I said, I'm just giving people a visual.
Okay.
And you're wearing Gucci sunglasses, and you're carrying a Louis Vuitton duffel bag. And
it's Steven Sprouse.
Oh, whatever. And we're in this stuffy conference room with all these guys waiting to audition. Carson strides in, hurls his duffel bag onto the conference room table, and says, I think it's really adorable that any of you queens thinks you have a shot at my part.
And then I went in, and then I came back out, and they said, how did it go? I said, you can all leave. Goodbye.
Turns out you were right.
I was. Who knew?
Well, so here we are in 2013, 10 years later. We've just had these landmark Supreme Court decisions on gay marriage. Is it too much to say, do you think, that Queer Eye helped pave the way for where we are now?
I think it's a bit too much. But I think we did participate. You know, there's nothing more people who oppose gay rights are always saying, like, we don't want this shoved in our face. You can do what you want privately, but we don't need to know that you're gay. Well, unfortunately, actually, you do need to know it. Because when we're invisible, you don't realize that it's your son, it's your brother, it's your uncle, it's your coworker.
Your flight attendant, your florist. Kidding.
Exactly. Your waiter, you know, your gymnast, your high-wire trapeze act person who is being denied the same full citizenship that you get to have. And just by way of example, even my mother didn't understand. I'm going to get married to my partner of 20 years. We're not going to bother with a big, you know, I've got all the housewares I need. Thank you.
Right.
But the reason for this is if I die tomorrow, the home that we own, Barry would be entitled to stay there and own it, but he would have to pay taxes on half of its value. If I die tomorrow, Barry gets no Social Security benefits the way any married straight couple would.
But if you were Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries and you'd still been married for 28 hours, none of that would have happened.
It's true. It's true. It's true. So, and you know, so we never talked about political stuff really when we were making Queer Eye. But we are people, you know, and we're Americans and we vote and we pay taxes and we deserve the same rights everyone does.
Well, I just, you know, our little part was being visible and being ourselves and letting people get to know us. And I think, you know, like I said earlier, the biggest way to disarm prejudice is to actually get to know someone that's different from you and realize that, you know, it's not scary and it takes the phobia away. And hopefully we did that because we approached things with heart and with humor and with kindness. And people got to see us for who we are. And being gay was even maybe secondary. And they thought, hey, there's nothing wrong with these gays. And they got rid of that guy's mullet. We love them.
Exactly. Now, that's not to say I didn't call Justice Kennedy before the decision was written and put in my 2 cents.
Or give him a makeover.
You know what? If I were going to do a makeover, I'd start with Scalia.
We're still waiting on Ashcroft. I don't know why. I've been going to that same salon every Thursday for the last 6 years.
Do you remember when Ashcroft ordered that a nude statue in the Justice Department be covered with a cloth?
Yeah.
I think I do. Yeah. And I liked that statue of me. I thought it came out really wonderful.
You looked pretty hunky there.
Yeah. Me and Sandra Day O'Connor were quite a pair.
Carson Kressley and Ted Allen talking to us about the 10th anniversary of the debut of the Bravo TV show Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our interview from July. From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the Institute of Contemporary Art with Amy Silman. One Lump or Two, Vivid Abstract Paintings and Drawings, closes January 5th, icaboston.org.